The song we just finished singing has some words in it that you're going to want to remember. Okay? Justified, sanctified, and glorified. And it's all in Jesus Christ. Okay? It's all in the blood. When you stop and think about it, what is the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ? Yeah, it cleanses us from all sins. But you know the importance of the blood is not, it's not important to us. It's important to God. God could not receive us without the blood of Jesus Christ. It's His blood that sanctifies us, that justifies us and glorifies us. And what it really is that Jesus is accepted on our behalf. What He did for us, His blood. You stop and think about that. We'll come back to that. Hopefully you'll remember those words. The song we just sang is actually what I'm preaching about today. And so that was the Holy Spirit doing that. He knows how to do things, doesn't He? I want you to open. Well, before I have you open, I don't want you to know where I'm going yet with this. I want to do a little bit with this. How would you define a Christian? Anybody want to answer that? What is a Christian? Pardon? A follower of Christ. Anybody want to add to that? If you say I'm a Christian and somebody says, well, what's a Christian? What would you tell them, Mark? Okay, all right. Those are good answers. Anybody else want to add to it? What's a Christian? Okay, so a Christian is someone who is a follower of Christ, is someone that has had their sins forgiven because they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Okay? Your faith is not in the gospel. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news that Jesus lived, that He died, that He rose again, and He's coming back. And so we believe the gospel, and then as we believe the gospel, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He's the one that does the saving. Now, this is a little more difficult question. How do you live the Christian life? It might not be hard at all. You could answer it with two words. How do you live the Christian life? Everybody's afraid to say. Trust and obey. Okay, that's true. But there's something in before that. Well, it's there. It's really there. She said trust. The Bible says that we live by faith. By faith. How do you live the Christian life? By faith. That's how you live it. And when I think of by faith, there are some verses that come to mind. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. Those are all New Testament passages. That's where you find the just shall live by faith. And then in Habakkuk 2:4 it says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So, how do we live the Christian life? By faith. Because a Christian is someone who has been justified. Okay? If you're saved here, if you say, well, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, well, that means you've been justified. And it means that you're being sanctified, and one day you will be glorified. So those are the words that we said from that song that you need to think about. Now, you quoted a verse this morning. It was your memory verse or the verse that you've been working on. Does anybody have a verse that is very special that you have memorized, that you'd be willing to share with us? A verse that you have memorized is special to you. Mark? Okay. Okay, so he just took my steam right out. He just took the verse that I'm preaching on. Okay, so I was going to have some other verses, and I was going to say, now they're going to look at this verse. So turn in your Bibles to Galatians 2:20. Isn't that amazing? First verse quoted. So Galatians chapter 2. How do we live the Christian life? We live it by faith. You look at this verse. He just quoted it, but I want you to look at it with me. Galatians 2:20. Here's what it says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is the Christian life? According to this verse, okay, we're just going to look at this verse for a little bit. What is the Christian life? The Christian life is a dying life. A dying life. Number one, it's a dying life. Why? I am crucified with Christ. That means I die. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31, he said, I die daily. So, to be a Christian means to die. Now, that's not a very winning conversation with somebody. Hey, would you like to be a Christian? You'll have to die. I'd like to show you how to be a Christian. You have to die. Well, man, I don't want to die. I want to live. Well, but we're going to look at this and realize Paul is describing the Christian life. He said, for me, you go on and he says, I am crucified with Christ. But then he says, nevertheless, what? I live. So, the Christian life is a dying life, and the Christian life is a living life. We actually live a new life. If any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Passed away, that means die. And everything has become new. We have a new life. Now, in fact, Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live, what's the rest? Is Christ. For me to live is Christ. So the Christian life is the Christ life. That's what the Christian life is. It's living your life through Christ and Christ living his life through you. You're in Christ and Christ is in you. In fact, look back at Galatians 1. Look back at chapter 1, and I want you to notice how he starts this out. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Think about that. What did he do? He gave himself to deliver us from this sinful world, to give us life. So the Christian life, what is it? It's a dying life. The Christian life, what is it? It's a living life. And the Christian life is a dual life. Now, we have a little trouble with dual personalities, right? We're a little scared of that. We don't want somebody that has dual personalities. One minute they're Dr. Jekyll and the next minute they're Dr. Hyde. You know, we don't want dual personalities. But it's a dual life. Look at this. You're looking at Galatians 2:20. He says, He says for us again, I am crucified with Christ. That's my death. Nevertheless, I live. That's my life. And then he says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live, it's Christ living in me. If you're a Christian, then Christ is in you. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ. And so you begin to think about this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I have a way of living that's different because I'm a Christian. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now listen to this. Which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the Christian life? It's Christ in me. It's a living life. I live my life because of Christ. I live my life because Christ is in me. I live my life to please Christ and to glorify God the Father. It's a dying life. It's a living life. It's a dual life. But now, this is most important. It's a faith life. It's a faith life. How do I live it? By the faith of the Son of God, who what? Look at the verse. What did he do? He loved us. He loved me and gave himself for me. Do you ever do things for people you love that you wouldn't do for anybody else? Now, be honest. Do you do things for people you love that you wouldn't do for anybody else? Absolutely. Absolutely you do. I won't tell you some of the things that I find myself doing for my father-in-law. My father-in-law lives with us. And he's 97. And there's some things he cannot do for himself anymore. And I do those things for him because I love him. But I'm going to tell you, I'd have a hard time doing it for anybody else. Some of the things that I do. Okay, why is that? It's because I love him. Well, you know what? You should do some things for Jesus Christ that you would do for no one else because you love him. That's how we live it. We live by faith because we love him. Look in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Looking at verse 8. Now, we said the Christian life is what? Is a dying life. It's a living life. Now, notice what he says here. It's a life of faith. Notice what he says in Romans 6, 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We believe. Our faith is the thing that causes us to move forward. Now, the Christian life, we're going to flesh this out a little bit, but what is the Christian life? It's a dying life. It's a living life. It's a dual life. I live my life by faith, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's a faith life. Now, let's consider our faith perspective. We're saying, what is a Christian life? Now, here's the perspective on the Christian life. How should I see my Christian life? How should I see it? What is my perspective? You know, perspective makes a lot of difference on things. How you look at something. How you look at it determines what you're going to do. If you're looking at something, you say, well, it's dirty, I need to clean it. Or if you look at it, it's dirty, but you say, oh, it's just fine. That's a matter of perspective, right? Now, if you ask Mary to look at something, if it's dirty, you know what she's going to do? She's going to clean it. She doesn't mess with the mess. She don't want the dirt. I know that. She cleaned at our church for years, and she did a wonderful job of keeping the place looking good. People come in and said, "You keep your church so nice." Well, tell Mary. You know, probably most people didn't tell Mary. They didn't know Mary was doing it. She is a quiet behind the scenes person. She says, "Hey, look what I did." She doesn't do that. But she's going to clean it, right? If you know Mary, you know that's what's going to happen. Or have the boys do it. They did help. They learned how to help, didn't they? So, but, okay, so my perspective on the Christian life. Our position in Christ. Here's the position in Christ. What's your position in Christ? Here it is. I am crucified with Christ. What is my position in Christ? I am dead to sin. I am dead to those things that are against God. My position is I'm crucified with Him. Yet I'm raised to walk in newness of life. Turn with me to Romans. We're going to be back and forth in Romans between Romans and Galatians. And I want you to notice here Romans chapter 6. Now, I ask a question in Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Say the next two words. Everybody say it. What is the first two words of verse 2? What is it? God forbid. Is it okay for you to keep sinning? God forbid. No. Why not? Because you're in Christ. Notice what he says. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So, the Christian life is a dying life. It's the death to sin. I'm not going to live in sin. I'm dead to sin. Now, we could ask you to name some sins. But you all know what sin is, don't you? Sin is anything that doesn't please God. Sin is anything that God says you shouldn't do. Sin is anything that destroys your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need to keep your body and keep it right. So he says, now notice verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not, what? Serve sin. So, what is my position as a Christian? My position as a Christian is, I am crucified with Christ. And I have new life in Christ. I'm risen with Christ. I'm to live for Christ. Because the old man's to be dead, and the new life is in Christ. Now, that's my position. I'm thinking about my perspective. Okay? Not only our position in Christ, but our provision in Christ. Our provision in Christ. Christ liveth in me. He has provided for me to live the Christian life because He's with me and He won't leave me. And you ever ask yourself this question, what would Jesus do? What does the Lord in me want me to do? How should I live my life today? Should I eat that second piece of pie at the carry-in today? If the Lord was here, would He be eating a second piece of pie? Oh, Pastor, you couldn't do this to us just before the carrying. Well, just do it for Jesus. If you can eat that second piece of pie for Jesus, have at it. Here's what I do. This one's for me and this one's for you. One for me and one for the Lord. How's that work? You know, we have a way of rationalizing sin, don't we? We have a way of saying, oh, this sin's okay. I would never do that, but don't tell. I'm going to sneak this other piece of pie. You know, we just have a way of doing that. Our provision is in Christ. Christ liveth in me. And Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, what is the Christian life? It's Christ in me. It's Christ in you. It's allowing Him to have His way, to live it through us. Keep your finger or mark Romans and go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, look at verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. And ye are complete in Him. Oh, I think we sang a song. Complete in Him. You know, it's right from the Scriptures. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is alive today? If you do, say amen. Okay, He's alive. Do you believe He died? Yeah, He did die. But He's alive. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are reckoning yourselves to be dead to sin, and now I'm alive to Christ. That happens by faith. So my provision is Christ. How can I ever live the way I'm supposed to live for Jesus? I got you. I'm here. I'm in you. I won't leave you. I'll help you. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the strength. The Lord will give us the life of Christ. He's there for us. So, the provision is Christ. Christ liveth in me. The position, crucified with Christ. Now, the power, our power in Christ. Our power in Christ from Galatians 2:20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The just shall live by faith. Philippians 4:13. Anybody know that verse? I bet you all do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay, so how do I live this Christian life? I do it by Christ. His strength. My position is I'm crucified. My provision is that He lives in me. And my power comes from Him. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He's talking about, we think of temptation, but He's talking about troubles and trials and everything that comes on your way. The Lord is there, and He'll get you through it, if you'll trust Him. You know where our problem is? We don't trust Him. Our failures are faith failures. We're not trusting the Lord. We're ignoring Him when we ought to be trusting Him to get us through. Now, that's the power. Our protection in Christ. Our protection. Now, we're living in a rough world, would you agree? There's a great temptation to be afraid of what's going to happen and where our nation's going and are we going to lose this nation? A lot of things to be worried about if you want to worry. But you don't have to worry. Because the God of heaven, Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know what he came to the conclusion? His conclusion was that the God of heaven raises up nations and takes them down, sets up kings and takes them down. You know, America is under God's authority. Whether we want to accept it or not, God's in control. And you don't have to be afraid. Our protection is in Christ. You believe the Lord loves you? Look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 31. Romans 8, 31. Here is your protection, our protection in Christ, the Christian life. What shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, wait a minute. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Go back to verse 1. Just look at verse 1 in Romans 8. There is therefore now, what's it say? No condemnation. They may condemn you, but it won't hold up in God's court of law. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That's why he can say, and as we go back and look at verse 31 and 32, he that spared not his own son, that's 32. Now look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again from, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Oh, he's praying for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? All of those things. Can they separate you from the love of God? No. He'll take you through them. He'll be with you in them. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your protection is in the love of Christ. Now, what's the Christian life? It's a dying life. It's a living life. It's a dual life. It's a faith life. And our perspective is that I'm crucified with. That's my provision. My position, my provision is that he's living in me. My power comes from the fact that it's Christ that lives in me. I can do all things through Christ. And my protection is because he loves me. Now, let's consider by faith the promises of the Christian life. What are the promises to the Christian life? Well, there's substitution. It means that God is satisfied. Complete in him. God is satisfied. The finished work of Christ on the cross makes it possible for you and me to go to heaven, and we get there because of what Christ did. He is satisfied with the person, work, death, resurrection, and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen to that. He's my Savior, and he's taken care of it. So, he's my substitute. He took my place. Without Christ, you know where I'm headed? I'm headed to hell and separation and punishment and existence separated from God in a place of torment forever and ever and ever if I don't have Christ. But if I have Christ, then that's not a concern at all. I'm on my way to heaven. substitution. Sanctification. When you were saved, your union with Christ was forever established, and the process of sanctification is assured, and it is going to be accomplished. You know what sanctification means? It means I'm becoming more and more like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we quote it, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But 29 says that He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're going to become like Christ. And so what's the Christian life? It's becoming more like Christ. Isn't it? Isn't that what's going on? So you have the sanctification, and then you have the sufficiency. The promise of sufficiency. Since by faith we've put our faith and trust in Him, we can have full assurance that it's good enough. Your salvation. Well, I don't know if I've lived good enough. I don't know if I've done enough. I don't know if... No. You got it wrong. You're not earning your way to Christ. You're not going to get there because of your good works. You're not going to get there because of the way you've lived. You're not going to be put away because of your sin. Because you put your faith and trust in Christ, it's sufficient to get you to heaven. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Right? He's sufficient. That's a promise. And so there's security. The security. I belong to Him. You've been born into the family of God. And there's nothing you can do to be unborn. When you trust Christ, Christ comes to live in. And you know what He said? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, what that means for me and for you is that we contend with sin from a redemptive position rather than trying to scrape by. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so we deal with it this way. Let me give you the illustration. I was reading an article some time back, and this pastor was telling this story. This pastor's talking to a young couple. A young wife is clinging to her husband's arm as they come into church with her head down. She's not looking up. She doesn't want to look at the pastor. She has been involved in an adulterous affair. She has confessed it to her husband. She's actually confessed it to the church and been forgiven by the church. She did that a few weeks earlier. The pastor said to her, please, please don't lower your head in shame to anyone in this church. We have all been saved and are being saved, and one day we will be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can hold your head high because of Jesus Christ. Now you see, let me flesh this out for you. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And the solution for this couple, this pastor went on to talk to him about the solution. He said, both as sinners, you're both completely forgiven and completely accepted by the love of God. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question. Is God's love enough? If you're forgiven and you've been justified and sanctified by Him, isn't that enough? At the same time, we are portrayed as saints who continue to struggle with sin. And that's true. You and I are struggling with sin. I'm not staying for your meal because I need to go home and with my wife and family. I can't stay for the meal. I wouldn't eat here and then go home and eat a second time. That just wouldn't be good. But if I were staying here, I might be struggling with whether or not to have that second piece of pie. You say, oh, not you, Pastor. Yeah, you know how I'd rationalize it? I'm going to run tomorrow. so I can have it today. You know, no. Here's the point. We all struggle with sin. And sometimes sin wins, doesn't it? Sometimes sin wins. But what we have to understand is that in that struggle, therefore, our identity is that we're saved from sin. Now, I don't know if you can follow me with this, but I want you to try. If you've been saved by grace and you've confessed your sin, you've been forgiven. Amen? So don't walk around in guilt. Don't be a guilty Christian. Oh, you may have to deal with the consequences of your sin, but you are not condemned. You're forgiven and loved and taken back in. You're His child. Don't let guilt drive your life. Now, guilty people have a hard time smiling. They have a hard time being happy. They have a hard time enjoying life. They just have a hard time because they're punishing themselves. There's no reason for you to punish yourself. You're in Christ. And you need to understand that. And so our identity as saved sinners should avoid a guilt-driven or a grace-distorted schizophrenia. You say, what do you mean there? Okay, so I'm saved by grace, but I certainly can't have the grace of God if I'm not living right. If I got to do more and do more and do more, and if I'll do more, then I'll be acceptable. You know what? You're never going to be more accepted than you are right now. Doesn't matter how much you read, how much you pray, how much all of those things you do, that'll draw you closer to the Lord, but it won't make you more accepted. Because you're accepted in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. You can't be any more loved, any more accepted, or any more forgiven than you are the moment you trust Christ. Do you understand that? It's by grace. It's a gift. And you don't... You know, we have this works mentality. I'm going to do more and then I'll please God. I'm going to do more and then He'll bless me. I'm going to do. And you're so doing that you're not believing. Folks, don't believe in yourself. Believe in your Savior. When you're believing in yourself, you're trying to earn your salvation. That when you're believing in your Savior, He gets all the glory. I am justified. I'm being sanctified and made more and more like Him every day because He's at work in my life. And one day I'm going to be glorified. Now, I have a past tense. Think about this. I have been saved. Can you say today, maybe there's some of you here that have not been saved. So you don't have a past tense. You're presently living in your sin. You need to trust Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. You need to say, I need my sins forgiven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to trust Christ. I want Him to be my life. I am willing to trust Christ today. Then you can say, I have been saved. That's a past tense. That's your justification. It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Then there's a present tense. I am being saved. Philippians 1:12 says, work out that which Christ has worked in you. I'll read it to you. No, it's not coming up in my memory like I would like for it to. So let me read it to you. Philippians 1:12, listen to it. Right? Just a second. Hold on. I'm sorry, Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. My present salvation is working out what God has worked in me. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. I'm letting God work, letting the Holy Spirit have His way, letting Jesus Christ direct my life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And then Philippians says, Galatians 5, 16 says, if you obey the Spirit, you will not obey the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not obey the lust of the flesh. And so we have that justification and it's working in us. And then we have a present tense salvation. He's at work. He's working in us. Now, the feeling of condemnation is a terrible feeling. You ever feel condemned? You know, somebody looks at you and you think, oh, they don't like me. I feel that way sometimes. I don't think they like me. But then I think, doesn't matter. Because I'm loved by Jesus Christ. And their condemnation does not hold water. Because I've been forgiven and cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, instead of worrying with my condemnation, I'm not going to let that feeling control me. I am going to recognize that I've been forgiven and I have salvation. And the real consequence of my personal sin, there's some real consequences, and I have to work through those. But I work through them trusting the Lord to give me victory over sin and get me through that consequence. And then I'm responsive to the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Back to the pie illustration. When I'm getting ready to get that second piece of pie, you know there's a little voice inside me. Holy Spirit says, you really shouldn't. And I have to obey the lust of the flesh or the voice of the Spirit. Right? One or the other. If I obey the voice of the Spirit, then I have victory over that sin. And that's how we are supposed to live our lives. You stop and think about it and realize what's going on. Now, I have to quit. I could go another half hour. You know, Mary's shaking her head. Yeah, he could. But I'm gonna quit so that you will feel like you got a little, you got enough, okay? But you didn't get too much. I'll hit the high points again. The Christian life, it's a dying life. It's a living life. It's a dual life. And it's a faith life. That's Galatians 2:20. Our position is in Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Our provision is in Christ living in me. Our power comes from the fact that we trust Him, for by faith, the life I now live, I live by the faith, and my protection is because He loves me. He's my substitute. He's my sanctification. He's my security. That's the Lord Jesus. Now, if you have your hymn book, grab one if you don't have one. I want you to grab your hymn book. I know you're going to sing a closing hymn, but I want you to see the message in another hymn. And so if you'll turn in your hymn books to page 169. We're not going to sing it. I just want you to see it. You'll notice there's a verse up there underneath it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now notice the verse. May the mind, it's a prayer. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by His love and power controlling all I do and say. May the Word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through His power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm and comfort, and calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. They left one verse out, and I want you to hear this other verse. See if I can find it here for you. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. You know what our life should be? It should be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ more and more daily. People ought to begin to see the fruit of the Spirit in you. See the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the kindness. They ought to be able to see you as a reflection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for providing for us everything that we need to live the Christian life. I pray that you would have your way in every heart here today. Lord, we need you. We need to live by faith. We need to recognize your presence with us. We need to recognize your purpose for us. We need, Lord, to have you filling us every moment of every day. And Lord, if there's someone here today that has never put their faith and trust in you, might they realize that you have provided everything. You died for them because you love them. And you'll save them if they'll just believe and receive you. Have your way in every heart and life. Help us who know you as Savior to be ready. Ready always to give an answer for the hope that's within us. Help us to be ready to obey and to follow you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And with your head still bowed, is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor, I've never asked the Lord to be my Savior, but I'd like to get peace with God today. I'd like to know Him as my Savior. I want my sins forgiven. I want a place in heaven. Is there anybody like that? You would just slip your hand up so that I can pray for you.